Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 1:24 p.m. and that is Pacific Standard Time. Today is November 30th. Well, if yesterday was all about the pullback that we saw in the technology sector, today was all about the kinds of companies that are going to benefit from the tax bill. It's looking increasingly likely that it will pass. And I remember having a discussion with some subscribers back in September, and there was going around the table, there was a lot of angst about whether there would be a tax cut. And my conclusion was pretty simple, was that if you can rely on the Republicans to do anything at all, surely it is that they can push through a tax cut. Isn't that part of the reason that people vote for the Republicans in the first place? And with their majorities, if they can't put through a tax cut, what are they there for? Well, I think that that particular sentiment has probably resonated through the party. So this is rushed, what they are pushing through, and they are really trying to reshape whole parts of the U.S. economy. But it will have a positive effect on large companies that are not 100% completely optimized to avoid taxes. But that is really quite difficult for those that have got very large U.S. operations. So the Dow Jones surged higher today. It was up 400 points. And that was following a pretty impressive advance yesterday. Now, when we look at that on the weekly chart, I think that we can begin to think now that this price is accelerating. The pace of the advance is picking up. When we look at it on a 10-year basis, and just compare this year to what we saw over the course of the trend from early 2009, the pace of the advance has picked up, and it is up 700 points this week. Now, this is not Bitcoin we're talking about. This is the Dow Jones, which are very large cap shares, and it is now over 2,000 points overextended relative to the trend mean, which in the broader scheme of things is a little more than 10%. So we're not at the end of the acceleration, probably more like at the beginning of the acceleration. But the overextension relative to the trend mean will eventually be unwound. So therefore, this is a very bullish time, but eventually it will roll over and we will have a corrective environment. It is also worth just considering what's going on with the Nasdaq. The Nasdaq pulled back yesterday. It was in positive territory in here today. What we continue to see is, even in the context of a rotation out of technology and into more domestically focused shares, not least banks, then we can also see that there has been this continued buy the dips strategy coming through. And the buy the dip strategy is being, I think, being pushed along by the growth of the ETF sector, which is passive investing, risk parity strategies, which lay off risk from the equity market in the bond markets and try to balance one against the other. And because they've both been pretty inert, that's been really quite easily done. And then, of course, you have quantitative strategies, which are looking to lay off risk from the equity market in the volatility markets. And the VIX index was in positive territory yesterday, and it was in positive territory again today. But the more important point is that it hit a new all-time low just on the 24th, and every time it's hit a new all-time low, we've had a little spike higher. Every time it gets below 10, we get a little spike higher. So then the likelihood is that we're going to get a little spike higher in the volatility, but it's unlikely to be a big move. Because what is the one thing that is really helping to promote this environment where passive investing and this low volatility environment have persisted? It's the fact that interest rates have been so moderate. But I think that we should really start to focus on the 5-year. There is a great deal of additional supply comes into the market next year. the US government is going to have a significant quantity of bonds that it's going to need to place next year. On top of that, the Federal Reserve is reducing the size of its balance sheet because it has so much debt that is going to need to be refinanced next year. So these represent two important pools of additional supply. And certainly the Fed is trying to ameliorate the situation by reducing the size of its balance sheet and not and allowing those bonds to mature without having to place them again and in conjunction with the Treasury. But the reality is that when we look at this 10-year chart of the 5-year bond yield, it has first step above the base characteristics. And it is trading above 2%, is trading above the trend mean. If this were an equity, we would be thinking that we're in a new bull market and that it is only a matter of time before it breaks higher. And if we were to simply take the labels off the chart, it would be very difficult not to reach that conclusion. It's also worth looking at it over a significantly longer period of time. This has clear base formation characteristics now, and it does look like this is a first step above the base over the last year. So that would suggest that at some point we are going to have yields moving higher in here, and wage demands are expected to do better. When we look at some of the raw data, then lumber prices are rallying in here. Part of the reason for that is because of I think concerns about NAFTA. Now, we did have a pause last week, but lumber has now unwound some of its overextension, so this is an area where it should begin to find support. But considering that lumber prices are close to a high and copper prices are still in recovery mode, then when we think about that and what that's like, what kind of influence that's likely to have on the on home prices, well, then we have to at least consider that just this week there was data released that was pointing to the fact that the average cost of a home has gone to 400,000, which is a new all-time high in the USA. I can also attest to the fact that the property market is pretty hot. There's a house just went on sale 2 weeks ago across the road from me. It's almost 100 years old, and 2,000 square feet needs renovation, and was on the market for almost $1.5 million. So it's now in escrow. So it took less than 2 weeks to sell, and not in the most bullish time of the year either. So these are, I think, important considerations that we do have the makings of inflation starting to come back, and what and then of course we also have the pro-cyclical nature of the tax policy that news released today that there was going to be a even taking into account the potential for growth from it, that the deficit would increase by $1 trillion over the next decade. And when we already have almost full employment and the economy has been expanding for really quite some time already, then the rationale for producing a massive fiscal bump at this stage in the cycle should be questioned. But of course, that is what people voted for. That is what people want, and that also lays bare the hollowing out of the middle class and the fact that people are reacting against the status quo and demanding higher wages. And that is, I think, all part and parcel of this response that we're getting. But it also contributes to asset price inflation, and certainly the stock market is giving us some evidence of that. Now, OPEC was also meeting today, and they have extended their cuts for another while. And Brent crude continues to hold this move above $60. The big question, from the perspective of the oil market, is the extent to which the shale drillers will continue to be able to generate funding in an environment where interest rates are rising. there has been money for everything over the last decade because interest rates have been so low and there has been so much available credit. But if we do get higher interest rates and we do get credit beginning to tighten, then that will begin to pressure margins, and or at least it will begin to throw some focus onto the most margin pressured businesses, and the drilling sector has been one of those. So that is a question here, whether there will be the wherewithal at the current price to really get the investment necessary to drill all those additional wells. We know that unconventional supply has an early peak rate, so you have to continue to drill new wells, and that will be necessary. There is a I guess the other way of thinking about it is that it's a lower margin business, which is capital intensive. So then the question is, will the capital still be available? And I suspect that it will, but it might require somewhat higher prices. And that's an important consideration when we continue to see that Brent crude is holding this move above $60, that everyone has a very well-conceived notion that there is a lot of additional supply becomes available above this level. We know that, but so far the price has sustained the move above 60, whether that is because of the continuing deterioration in Venezuela, the rise of geopolitical tensions in the Middle East, or other factors, or not least because OPEC and Russia continue to restrict supply, that is all contributing to the fact that it has held above $60. The big swing producer, of course, is the USA. So that is something that is going to, I think, a lot of people will be looking at more closely over the next while. I think when as long as it is holding the $60 area, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And gold prices are still pretty range bound. That $1,300 area represents an area of psychological resistance, not least because there's a progression of lower rally highs since that peak that we saw back in September. And when we look at it over the weekly chart, this is a very volatile, rangy phase that we've seen over the last almost 2 years. But it's in the broad perspective, it is simply a period of right-hand extension following the Type 2 bottom. And these periods of right-hand extension tend to be volatile. That's their primary characteristic. That's exactly what we're getting. And eventually, the bullish scenario will reassert itself. And the bullish scenario, it is likely to be tied to inflation. So what happens in the inflation outlook is likely to have some impact on what happens with the gold price. Then for companies like Facebook that pulled back pretty sharply yesterday, it was working on a downside weekly key, but if the continued bounce back that we're getting today continues, then it's unlikely that it is going to persist on to form a downside key reversal, but this still remains one of the more consistent trends out there. Whereas when we look at something like where was the real problem yesterday? It was in shares like Autodesk, because the tech pullback coincided with the release of their earnings results, which were not as positive as one might have hoped for. So that is a massive reaction against the prevailing downtrend, and that would suggest that a peak of at least near-term and potentially medium-term significance has been encountered here. The continued outperformance of the Dow suggests that it is domestic shares are probably the ones, or at least if not domestic, it's going to be shares that have got large U.S. domestic businesses are the ones that are going to do best from the tax cuts. Europe continues to consolidate below that 400 level, and I think that that is likely to continue to hold above the trend mean as we get some consolidation. But obviously, it is in the U.S. that we're getting the clear leadership, and it is dragging just about everything else higher. And the dollar index has encountered resistance in the region of the trend mean, and it was additionally weaker in here today. That chart hasn't quite updated. The pound against the dollar is pushing the 135 area, and the peak from earlier this year, back in September, was around 136. This continues to hold the progression of higher reaction lows, and it looks like a recovery trajectory for the pound, not least because it collapsed because of such incredible pessimism about what Brexit was going to represent. And with increasing likelihood of a further breakthrough on the question of the Irish border, then the likelihood is as the pound can do better from here. Expectations for what UK growth are likely to be is likely to be like over the next couple of years are pretty moribund. But the reality is that if the UK can come out of the negotiations with a friendly relationship with the EU, with the freedom to then go off and negotiate trade deals elsewhere, then it's going to be in a pretty solid position. That it's going to There is the realistic possibility that it could end up with the best of both worlds. And if that is indeed the case, then the pound is cheap at these levels. And then the potential here is that the UK will get additional investment. So I think that is something that I think a lot of people are just not prepared for when they look at the UK and the flow of news, which has been almost universally bearish. And I think it is also worth just highlighting the fact that India is still trending higher, despite the fact that it has paused above this 10,000 level. That emerging markets are still doing reasonably well. The Nikkei today was bouncing from the 22,000 level, and this continues to represent, I think, one of the most profound opportunities there is out there. I continue to hold my long position. I think that the potential is that if we are going to have inflation coming back, that it is Japan is going to be one of the markets that does best as a result. That there has been this long-term correlation between the Nikkei and 10-year yields, and the Nikkei has already broken out. That would suggest that it is a matter of time before the 10-year yield breaks out. The 2-year has already broken out. The 5-year looks like it is about to break out. And Japan has cleared the 20,000 level on the Nikkei. The second section index remains a lead indicator, and it has not yet cleared 7,000, but by the same token, it's not that far below it either, and this doesn't look like anything other than simply some consolidation. The Topix Banks index has been largely range-bound for more than a year already, but having pulled back for most of November, it has pushed back up over the last few days, and that looks like a bullish consolidation. The fact that it pulled back from 200 and is now bouncing from the region of the trend mean would suggest that it is only a matter of time before it clears the 200 point area. And the real I think the or at least the long-term confirmation for bullishness in the market is when we look at the Topix, which has encountered resistance around these levels on multiple occasions. It is now testing the peak from back in 2007, and that 1800 point area is a rather important Rubicon. Once the Topix can clear this level and move to new almost 20-year highs, well, that will, I think, really signal that we're back in a very different environment for Japan. And it's also worth looking at China, where the index is pulling back towards the region of the trend mean on the A share and is just about finding support there now. The CSI 300 has done better and therefore has got more of an overextension to unwind. It is back testing that 4,000 level, and it continues to look like this is a I think some of the steam is deliberately being taken out of the market, and that is likely to have a continued effect on shares like Tencent, which having bounced 3 days ago, was not quite able to hold it today and pulled back below 400. Now, we've had a bounce on Wall Street today, so if everything is a-okay with Tencent, then it should be bouncing tomorrow. If it extends its decline, well, then that is going to represent a fairly significant inconsistency and would open up the potential for a larger pullback. And considering that it did accelerate to get up to that peak around 440, then the potential is that it could become quite a bit more volatile. But I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.